How do we keep teenagers connected to the church after confirmation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is this done? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Teaching the Faith at Home costs $15.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Teaching the Faith at Home. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to get back into our series, Top 3 Verses, today. Now, ordinarily, we would kind of look at a teaching, and then Brian Wolfmiller would come alongside, and he would bring us what he considers to be the top 3 verses in the Bible with regard to that teaching. We're kind of turning that around a little bit here, just a little bit. For today's episode of Top 3 Verses, we're going to just be talking about the top three meals that Jesus has after the resurrection, in that resurrection and Easter theme. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
So what does it say about Jesus' humanity and divinity that he's still eating after the resurrection?
I think this is really the first point that we want to make as we kind of think about Jesus eating after his resurrection. It's a stunning thing, and Jesus does it on purpose to make the point that he still has his body. I mean, there's this great danger that faces us when we think about the resurrection, and we somehow think that there's a disconnect between the body that we have now and the body that we'll have in the resurrection. In fact, I've just run across this any number of times, just, you know, faithful Christian people that have learned the Lord's Word and the Catechism, and they just assume that the body that we have in the resurrection is a different body than the body that we have now, a different sort of body. And to that we have to say, I mean, the simple response is, well, if that was true, then Jesus' old body would still be in the tomb. When the women came to find him, they would find his old body there, and Jesus would be resurrected with a new body. But the very body that's crucified and put down into the tomb is the same body that comes up out of the tomb. And Jesus takes pains to show them that. He shows them his hands and his feet and his side, the wounds that he has, and then he eats, just like he did before the crucifixion. He eats. Now, this is proving that Jesus is not some sort of ghost, that he's not an ethereal spirit, that he's not somehow less real than the reality that we find ourselves in. He comes to the disciples, and this is the first account, Luke 24, and he says, look, I have hands, and I have my feet, and touch me, and a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I have. And then he says, this is Luke 24:41, have you got any food? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and the old manuscripts, the King James and some of the manuscripts says, and also a honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. So that Jesus, by this act of eating, is showing that his humanity is united to his divinity in the single person of Christ and will remain so now eternally. They can never be divided.
So this really is going to, it's not only just the apologetic, he proves he was really there physically. This is a far more profound understanding of Jesus' incarnation, the purpose for that incarnation, and the fact that he remains united as God and man for all eternity, really as, if he doesn't, if he gives up that humanity, that incarnation, we're doomed. We lose our connection to salvation.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. And that's one of the very important theological points, because just like people think that our resurrected body is somehow going to be a different body, a lot of people have the tendency to think, and this is another one of these kind of theological myths that we need to really think about. People think that Jesus somehow removed himself from his body. He somehow removed himself from his earthly existence, from the flesh that he took upon himself in the womb of the Virgin Mary. But if that's the case, if Jesus is somehow now bodiless, then how is it that he gives us his body and his blood to eat and drink at the Lord's Supper? So the fact that Jesus still has his body through which he mediates to us the Lord's mercy and the Lord's kindness is really our hope in this life and in the life to come. Jesus did not abandon, or he did not put aside his human nature even as he enters into his exaltation. So that's a third myth. We got three myths already. This is kind of nice. The first myth is that somehow the resurrected body is a different body. The second myth is that Jesus doesn't have his human body anymore. And the third myth is that the incarnation of Jesus is part of his humiliation. So that Jesus taking on our human flesh is part of his humbling himself in the work of salvation. But if that were true, then in his exaltation, he would no longer have our flesh. So that the incarnation of Jesus is in fact prior to his humiliation, and it's not part of it. So that even in glory, Jesus is Jesus, the Son of Mary, and our brother and our friend.
So you already mentioned Luke 24. Why did you go to that as one of your top three?
Well, I think this is the first one because Jesus is going to make a point of this eating. He's going to say to them, "You see, I have a body. I'm real. I'm not some sort of pretend sort of thing. You're not having a vision. This is not a dream. You're not hallucinating. This is the real thing, and I'll prove it. Give me something to eat." Now, there's probably something to be thought about, I suppose, by the fact that our eating is bound up to our humanity, and I suppose there's some things to explore there, even especially that the fall is connected to us eating. But here Jesus is using this meal to prove the veracity of the resurrection. When we gather together on Easter, the church has this beautiful greeting. We say, "Christ is risen," and the response is, "He has risen indeed." That is, in truth, in reality, in history, in space and time, his resurrection is a true and real resurrection. I remember hearing a story, I probably heard it on your show, a number of years ago, that they did this survey they asked people, "Hey, if we found the body of Jesus in a grave, would you keep being Christian? You know, if we could prove that Jesus never was bodily resurrected, would you still hold to the faith that you hold to?" And most Christians answered yes, that the bodily resurrection of Jesus didn't in fact matter for their faith. Now, Paul says the opposite is true. If Christ is not raised, we are of all people the most pitiable. If Christ is not raised, we're still in our sins. That everything that we hope for and long for and believe in is not a matter of fairy tales or nice stories, but rather of the historical fact of the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And that's why this fish and maybe honeycomb gives us such great comfort, because Jesus is showing his witnesses there that he is in fact, indeed, truly raised.
The second verse that you wanted to point us toward, and this it involves a little more explanation here, is John 21, and this is not recorded by the other gospel writers. John kind of does his own thing here. This is, I believe, also involving fish and breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the custom to have fish for breakfast in Israel. I think that's a little bit sketchy myself. But this is a beautiful story, and I think one of the benefits of this story. I don't know, Todd. You can tell me if you think I'm being impious on this. But as I read the accounts of Jesus after the resurrection, I cannot escape the idea that Jesus is downright playful. I mean, he's goofing around. He's almost messing with the disciples. I mean, when he's on the way to Emmaus, he hides himself from the disciples so that they don't recognize him. And then it says he pretended, he acted as if he would keep going further, and they have to compel him to come into the house. And then they ask him to say the prayer, and he says the prayer and breaks the bread and shows himself to him like a peekaboo, and then he disappears, poof, and he walks through walls, and he appears in their midst, and he shows them the scars that he has, almost like, you know, the little boys showing their scars to their friends. And I think this account of Peter and the other disciples fishing on this morning up in Galilee has that same sort of playfulness to it. Peter says, "We're going to go fishing," and they go out, and they're fishing all night, and they don't catch anything. And so Jesus appears to them, and so this is John chapter 21, verse 5, and he says, standing on the shore, "Children, have you any food?" And John gives us the answer. It's really nice. It says, and they answered him, "No." So then Jesus says, "Well, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast the net, and they're not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. And so the disciple who Jesus loved, that's John, says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And Peter, when he hears it, he puts on his cloak, and he jumps into the water, and he swims to shore, and he comes, and he finds Jesus there. This is so beautiful. And they come to the shore, and they're dragging up the net, which is about to break because of all the fish that they have. And as soon as they come to the land, John says in verse 9, they saw a fire with coals there and fish on it and bread. Now, do you see that Jesus says, hey, there's fish on the other side of the boat, and they drag it in, and they're working, and they're trying to drag all these fish in, and then they get the fish to the shore, and Jesus already has fish. In fact, they're already half cooked. It's already ready. You got to say that these disciples look down at the net and say, well, what did he have us do that for? But still, John, you know, so loves this work of the Lord that he, in fact, counts the fish that Jesus brought into the net that day. And then Jesus calls him to the fire where he has the fish cooking and some bread there.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're doing our series with him, Top Three Verses, the Top Three Meals with Jesus After the Resurrection. We'll have more to say about this one on the other side of the break on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 30th. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. More with him after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Cambridge Singers with the Easter hymn Christ the Lord is Risen Today, playing right now on Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World. Here's an email we received today from Amy. The LPR 24/7 music is wonderful, excellent choice of music for the Easter season. It's been a joy for us here in South Asia, celebrating our crucified and risen Lord with the church throughout the world. Thanks, Amy, and thanks for listening. You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio 24/7 for free on the LPR mobile app and at lutheranpublicradio.org. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Our series is Top Three Verses. We're doing the three meals of Jesus after the resurrection. Brian, on that John 21, the first one you said kind of is to demonstrate that he's really there, that he's really raised. Same Jesus that was on the cross, same body that went into the tomb, is standing before them resurrected. This one isn't so much about proving anything. It seems to be more oriented toward reconciliation with his disciples.
Right. He's taking care of these guys, you know. I mean, this is what Jesus does. I mean, he looks at these guys that are there fishing all night, and he says, I'm gonna feed you. He has fish that he cooked. I mean, it's an amazing thing, I think, to think of Jesus, who runs the whole universe, was sitting there on the shore and started a fire and put some fish on it and warmed up some bread for these guys that he loves. It's just phenomenal. And he says, come and have breakfast. And then John makes this note, which is kind of something. He says, none of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? Because they all knew it was the Lord. But it's got to be that there's something going on there that, you know, Jesus now resurrected is, it's the same Jesus, the same exact Jesus, but there's something different going on. And Jesus gives them breakfast, and John notes this is the third time that he showed himself to his disciples. And then after he had eaten breakfast, he has his threefold question of Peter. Now, we remember that Peter had denied Jesus through the trial at the high priest's house, that Peter had denied him three times and had gone out and wept bitterly. He just came undone by his own sin. And so now many commentators have pointed out that this threefold questioning of Peter is, in fact, a threefold restoration. So every time that Peter denied Jesus, Jesus is going to ask him the question, Simon, do you love me more than these? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then listen to this. Jesus says, feed my lambs. So that Jesus has now fed Peter and John and the other disciples that are there that day. And then he sends Peter out and the others too to feed his lambs. That is to tend to the church, to preach God's word and provide for his people. So that Jesus first is taking care of them, and now he's sending Peter and the others out to take care of all the rest of his disciples and all the rest of his Christians. Simon, the second time, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. And then a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he asked him a third time. And yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he says, now feed my sheep. So that this picture of feeding, and especially the idea that preaching God's word and administering the sacraments and handing out the Lord's Supper is the feeding of Jesus' sheep, the feeding of his lambs, the tending of his church, is taught to the disciples here, even as Jesus sits there and has breakfast with them after the resurrection.
The third verse that you wanted to direct our attention to with regard to Jesus' meals after the resurrection actually comes from the book of Revelation. Where would you point us?
Well, we have a couple of meals in the book of Revelation. The first one I was thinking about going to was this in the letter of Laodicea, where Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If you let me in, I'll come in and I'll dine with you, which is a beautiful picture to the church saying, hey, I continue to eat with my church. And I think this is a reference not only to the preaching of God's word, but also to the administration of the sacraments, that Jesus continues to feed his sheep, his lambs, with his own body and blood and the promise of the forgiveness of sins. But I think it's a compelling thing to look at the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, the first few verses, which go like this. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there was no more, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Oh, this is just beautiful. And his name shall be on their foreheads. There'll be no more light, and so forth. So that here at the very last book of the Bible, the very last thing that we read in the Scriptures, we have this tree that was in the first couple chapters coming back, the tree of life that the Lord had planted in the Garden of Eden, and it was part of the trees that that Adam and Eve were supposed to eat from. But then instead of eating from that tree, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and especially the knowledge of evil. And they're removed from the garden specifically so that they won't be able to eat from the tree of life and live forever confirmed in their sin. But now when all things have been restored, and when all things are finished, and when Jesus has returned to the earth in glory and raised the dead, and heaven has come down and joined to the earth, and we're in the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells, now the tree of life shows back up, and it has fruit that we would eat from. This is absolutely beautiful, that Jesus has brought us back to the place where we can eat of the tree and live forever. And we're living forever with him. We're eating forever with him. We're dining and feasting and supping forever with the one who died for us. And this is really, really, it's almost imaginably wonderful. I think of all the pictures that the Bible uses, the names that the Bible gives to death, and they're sweet names. The old theologians call them the dulce nomine, the candy name, the sweet names of death. Being gathered to the fathers and gain, to live as Christ, to die as gain, and falling asleep. This verse right here is probably the sweetest. They shall see his face, so that in eternity we'll be there before the face of Jesus, and the tree of life will be there, and we'll be with him eating from this. This is, it's almost unspeakable joy.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. You can find out more about these resources under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you.
You got it.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, for one more day, by the way, is Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is this done? This is a must-read, must-have resource for the family who would teach their children, catechize their children in the home. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is this done? 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. Tomorrow on Issues Etc. we'll continue our series looking forward to Sunday morning. We'll be looking forward to feasts and festivals, talking with Pastor David Peterson about the Annunciation, which happened to fall there just on Good Friday. Then we'll have Pastor Ted Giese review that movie, Batman versus Superman, which is so full of superhero power, but is getting such terrible reviews. We'll find out why. And we'll get our weekly update on the November elections from our resident journalists, Mark and Molly Hemingway. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The divine service is where Christians gather around word and sacrament. We join together to receive God's gifts in the liturgy. But do you know the meaning behind what we do? There's a book called Ceremony and Celebration that explains Lutheran liturgical worship. Find out more and read book excerpts online at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us. You'll find answers to your liturgical questions in Ceremony and Celebration, emmanuelpress.us.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.